And every day, a man who had been unable to walk from birth was carried to the temple gate in order to beg from those going past. It tells us in Acts chapter 4 that the man was over 40 years old. For over 40 years, he had watched others around him able to move about freely. For many of those years, he'd no doubt been begging in this same place. Verse 10 tells us that the people recognized him as the man who begged at the temple gate. And chapter 4 goes on to tell us that the authorities couldn't deny what had happened to him. He was obviously a familiar sight and well known. Familiar then, and familiar now. Peter and John, two of the apostles, are making their way to the temple, and the man asks them for money. He's not necessarily expecting anything. He only gives them his attention when they stop and speak to him, verse 5, thinking they're going to give him something at that point. But he finds they're looking straight at him. Not an everyday occurrence, when people often don't meet your eye out of embarrassment, out of pity, out of guilt. But he doesn't get what he's expecting or even hoping for. He gets far more than he's bargained for. Well, have a look with me at verse 6 if you've still got that passage open in front of you. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. It was an ordinary day that turned into an extraordinary one. His hopes for the day had probably been pretty low, but even if they'd been high, he never could have imagined that this would happen. It was a miracle that transformed this man's life. But it was more than that. It was a sign for the people then and for us now. What had happened couldn't go unnoticed. The crowd suddenly see this man walking and leaping and praising God, and they come running to where he is with Peter and John, the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And so Peter gives his second ever sermon to explain what's happened. The first was in response to the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which we heard about last week. And the second is to explain what it is that's happened to this man, who everyone knows has been unable to walk since he's been born. But no, it wasn't. Are you ready for this? A lame excuse for a sermon. Oh dear. Well, here we see Peter giving the original three-point sermon. His explanation includes an accusation, an invitation, and finally, a warning. Peter's quite clear. "Don't look at us," he tells the crowd, verse 12. "No power or godliness of ours could make this man walk." Or in other words, if you're asking how we've done this, you're asking the wrong question. But if you want to know why God's done this, that I can tell you. "This is your God at work," he tells them. Verse 13, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. This same God sent Jesus, and now he's glorified him." But, and here comes the accusation, "You handed Jesus over to be killed. You disowned him It was the ultimate irony. You took the author of life and had him put to death. You released a murderer instead. Recognize your responsibility, Peter says to them. Your share in the guilt. Face up to your rejection of God. But as Peter now goes on to tell them, God's purposes couldn't be defeated. Verse 15, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. We're not the power at work, says Peter, but we're witnesses to it. It's not us, it's Jesus. Verse 16, it's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this healing. It wasn't anything about us. It's the authority of the name of the risen Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is his resurrection power at work in front of you. This is another sign for you of who Jesus really is. Well, if we just flick back to John chapter 10 from verse 22, we read this. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me." Well, there in Solomon's colonnade, they doubted that Jesus was truly the Christ. And now, in that exact same place, his power and authority are demonstrated once again. He was put to death, but God has raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. He is alive, and his resurrection power is still at work today. So Peter explains to the crowd what God has done, but he also makes plain to them their own responsibility before God as he accuses them. We may not have been there at that time, but nonetheless, it's an accusation that still applies to each one of us today. It's a responsibility we have to face up to. Our own rejection of God, our own failure to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of everything, as Lord of every part of our lives. It was a sobering accusation in the midst of that excitement, that joy amongst the crowd. But unless they, and unless we, first appreciated their distance from God, their need of his salvation, then they couldn't appreciate the wonder of what Jesus had done. There was once a young boy who snuck into the back of a church, hoping that nobody would notice him. He'd only come because a girl he liked happened to be part of the music group there. And he thought if she saw him in church, it might help his chances just a little bit. So he sat down and he waited for the service to start. He was horrified, therefore, when a few moments later, somebody from the back came up to him and asked him whether he might be willing to read, as somebody else hadn't turned up. Don't worry if you're here for the first time today, that's not going to happen. Well, his first instinct was to refuse, but his desire to impress the girl overtook him, and he thought maybe this would look even better. So he took the Bible that was handed to him, and he looked through the reading. The moment came when the reading was announced in the service, and he went forward and started to read. And as he read those words from the Bible, he found something strange happening to him. Suddenly, they seemed to be all about him. He wondered what on earth he was doing. How come he was here, standing, reading, pretending to be something he wasn't? But as he forced himself to carry on reading, he got to Jesus' words about coming so that people might have life and have it to the full. And he was overwhelmed as it suddenly struck him that this was what Christianity was really all about. He was another person who got far more than he bargained for on that day. Well, it's that invitation to experience the wonder of the gospel that Peter now holds out to those gathered around him. God's purposes are amazing, he tells them. Even though you did what was evil, God knew what would happen, and so he planned to use it for good. This was how God fulfilled everything that he foretold through the prophets, saying that his Christ would come and would suffer. Have a look at verses 19 to 21. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who was appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Peter holds out the offer of salvation, the reality of forgiveness, sins being wiped out. It's an amazing image, isn't it? An amazing image for an even more amazing reality. They won't count against you. They'll no longer even exist in God's sight. Jesus has taken sin upon himself. In the words of the hymn, God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. It's by faith in Jesus, Peter has already told them that all this is possible. So repent, he tells them. Turn away from your rejection of God. Acknowledge his Son as Lord and Saviour, and accept the forgiveness he wants to give you. That same offer is still open today. The free gift of forgiveness for those who recognize Jesus as Lord, who recognize the love of God that compelled Jesus to go to the cross for your sake. But amazing as that forgiveness is, salvation is even more than that. That's what Peter goes on to tell them. Not only are your sins wiped out, but God will give refreshment, and ultimately, Jesus will return and restore everything, just as God had promised long ago through the prophets. Just listen to the picture that one of those prophets paints of God's ultimate restoration of all things, the fulfillment of his promises to his people and his purposes from the beginning. Isaiah 35 says this: Your God will come. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. What a picture of both refreshing and ultimate restoration. God will restore all things through Jesus. He's the promised Saviour, the one who fulfills all that God intends for his people. And this is what his resurrection means. New life. New life now in the experience of that restored relationship with him. The freedom of his forgiveness from sins, the gift of his Holy Spirit at work in you, a deposit of what is yet to come. And in the future, everything completely restored. We'll be raised to new life with him when all things are made new. That's what's going on here, Peter is saying to the crowd. Here in the resurrection of this man, sorry, the restoration of this man who's been lame from birth, you see the resurrection power of Jesus. This is a sign of what's to come when Jesus returns and restores everything as he intends. I grew up in the Suffolk countryside, and one of the most beautiful sights at the start of spring is the ditches at the edges of the fields, absolutely filled with primroses and then cowslips. Great banks of pale yellow that suddenly emerge. But even as you enjoy that sight, that pale spring sunshine, those first signs of spring, part of the enjoyment is knowing that this is a sign of what's yet to come, as winter gives way fully to spring and then to summer. So this miracle that you've witnessed is just the beginning, Peter tells them. It's a foretaste of what's to come for everyone. That's what it means that Jesus has come. That's the reality of his resurrection. But Peter doesn't end there. He's made the accusation. He's given the invitation. And now his final point is a warning. Verses 22 to 23. What Moses foretold is fulfilled in Jesus. God has raised him up, and anyone who doesn't listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. That's the warning Peter gives. If you don't listen to Jesus, if you don't receive his salvation, then you'll be cut off from his restoration of everything. And once again, it's a warning that still applies to us today. Jesus offers us new life, life in all its fullness, both in what we experience of him now and in his final restoration of all things. His invitation is to each and every one of us. But if we ignore it, we will be cut off from that final restoration. We will bear the consequences of our sin for ourselves and be excluded from that new life. Well, let's return to the lame man at the start of our passage as we conclude. A man getting on with his day-to-day life, just asking for the basics to get by. And God surprises him by breaking in after more than 40 years, by changing everything. He got far more than he bargained for. Maybe you're here this morning, just getting on with life, but curious as to whether there's more to it. That invitation that Peter held out to the crowd that day still stands today. God's invitation through his Son Jesus, his gift of salvation, the power of his resurrection life. We'd love to help you to understand more about what it means to accept that invitation. Or maybe you're the person going about their daily business who already knows Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Have you so grasped the enormity of that gift that it overflows through you to others on a daily basis? Do you long for others to share what you've received? Peter was empowered by the Holy Spirit with a particular role as an apostle at the start of the Christian church, a witness to Jesus' resurrection. But he started out as a fisherman with no conception of how his life would change through knowing Jesus. When we trust in Jesus today, we're empowered by his Spirit as his witnesses in our own situations. God wants to reach out to people by the power of his Spirit at work in you. It may not be as dramatic or as public as it was for Peter and John, but it's just as life transforming for those who receive that gift. If you're in either of those situations and unsure, then do talk to Sandy or myself or somebody else here. We're here to help and support and encourage one another. Talk to God. God is a God of surprises. He wants to give you and to do through you far more than you could ever bargain for.